So it's a very short chapter. It's basically got four main ideas in it, I think, and they're outlined in the beginning there. Research of linear process, concept of process of grounded research, and linearity and circularity, and theories in the research process of versions of the world. Research as a linear process, build a model while sitting at your desk. Starting point is theoretical knowledge taken from literature or earlier empirical findings. Hypotheses are derived, which are operationalized and tested against empirical findings, which have the status of exemplary. Findings can be guaranteed across random sampling and break down complex relations into distinct variables, allowing testing. Concept of process in grounded theory research. Grounded theory approach gives preference to the data and the field under study against theoretical assumptions. Assumptions should not be applied, rather discovered in dealing. And I think this is a really important point. I put it all in caps. The aim is not to reduce the complexity by breaking it down into variables, but rather to increase the complexity by including the context. I like that. Theoretical structuring is postponed until the structure has emerged. Suspend a priori knowledge. The researcher should adopt an attitude of evenly suspended attention, otherwise they will be blinded by their own theoretical assumptions and they will lose the discovery of the actual new. Processing grounded theory research is theoretical sampling, theoretical coding, and writing the theory. There are two models in here on page 44. As a person who works with bodies in space, they seem very flat to me. Very flat and lifeless. However, they're a starting point. And I would imagine that in space they would actually be one here, one there, one this side, one this side. But I'd like to rearrange the model. So as long as we bear in mind that they're starting points. And I think I've mentioned in the when I was talking about the action research, you don't think that you have to completely go around, but you can, your questions are reformulated and moving on. Collection, interpretation, case, comparing.
Yeah, I agree with Jeff. They're terribly useful other than trying to demonstrate the move away from the linear research process to one.
Mm-hmm. Well, to show that they're different. But it almost feels simplistic in a way. Mm-hmm. So, with regards to the linearity and circularity of the process, the linear model of research, theory, hypothesis, operationalization, sampling, collecting data, interpreting data, and validation. And theories in research process of theories of the world, but the starting point is a pre-understanding of the subject and field under study. And this pre-understanding should be regarded as preliminary versions, which become further elaborated upon in the course of the research. And the text is the actual empirical material and the ultimate basis for developing the field. Chapter 5. Is that something else to do now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it should be. Mm-hmm.
Can I ask it?
Mm-hmm.
I have a question mark on page 41 regarding evenly suspended attention.
We're both on the page.
At the very bottom. Just above a little quote, according to Freud, this allows one to avoid the ensuing problems. And I didn't quite see where the evenly suspended attention, like what this was, it didn't all kind of come together for me.
So the idea of suspending suspending your attention.
You don't want to focus on, you don't want to sort of glom onto one word or one concept. You want to sort of keep it nice and even, sort of make it all part of your consciousness so you can look at the whole.
If we were thinking about the example of Laura, where I made the association with country to my upbringing, I think that as a researcher, I need to spend that and be aware that there could be other meanings because it's so strong for me. So suspended would mean standing back from it a bit.
Yeah, it's the even part that I was kind of trying to, like I was even, I didn't quite get where it was even. And you were kind of going at that, I think, with the sort of...
It's sort of like, you know, you read something and, well, you read something and sort of, oh, there's a point. You can actually feel like a physical response to something. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, you read this and, you know, you'll read one sentence, oh, Kate Moss, oh.
Maybe consistent would have been better. A consistent suspended attention rather than just focusing in and out, you know, in terms of your awareness at that level. Just trying to be more consciously aware consistently, I think, would be better.
Okay.
I think it's got it's a bit like the point Spinelli makes about when you're doing research, you try to bracket your biases.
Yes.
Doing
that consistently as opposed to just, you know, like when it suits or when. Now that's what I said, which I said is very, very hard to do. You know, we found that just now. And in fact, part of why it's hard to do, I think, is just human because it's so interesting. What you've got in front of you is so interesting. You know, far more interesting than thinking about you, yourself, isn't it, at that moment and your role in it. So it just can get caught up in the story.
I think by reading it over and over, that
you do
helps
that.
You do that, yeah.
That's right. You become so familiar with it that you can attend to other things.
That's true. Okay. Consistently makes more sense. Evenly, I was trying to think there was some sort of measure, and you were trying to balance things, and it just didn't quite, didn't make sense to me.
I wonder if you have another association with the word that's going in the way.
Or if it's, or what's the word in German for evenly?
Yeah, it could be a translation issue.
I could tell you.
Okay. All right. Other than that, it's straightforward, yeah. And the other thing I'll mention, too, about grounded theory, which I brought up again, so, you know, these things overlap. Mm-hmm. But there is a lovely technique that followed on from Gloucester and Strauss, which was called the constant comparative method. You might have come across that one. That's where the grounded theory took its ability to then look at more than one transcript. Okay. And so that's why we have the four girls. We'll keep those, by the way, because we might come back to them when we're doing discursive. We could look at them in a different way, using that kind of analogy. But constant comparative, what we just did with Laura, we do that with Barbara, then we compare Barbara to Laura, then we do the next girl and compare her to Barbara and Laura, and so on. So constant comparative method. So that's what you use when you're trying to develop a set of overarching concepts, what we're calling concepts here, or themes, and then interpret those themes across participants. There's a complicated layer.
So that would be the method that Shauna might use if she was using IPA to do one case and then another case and then another case and then to compare them.
Absolutely. Yeah, it would...
What's it called again?
Constant comparative method.
So if you say IPA and then you say constant comparative, in terms of the... You know, how does this fit in? Is this the overarching?
Well, no, IPA is new, remember, and it's grounded theory is much older. Constant comparative method is much older. So, if anything, IPA's idea of comparing like that would have either borrowed from or developed parallel with the constant comparative method. But they would have, their roots are in a similar idea of what you need to do, which is treat everything as in its own right first, before then comparing it back to the next thing. And that makes sense. A lot of people were not doing that in qualitative research for a long time. What they would do is they read one, and they looked for some themes, and then they read the next one, looked for some themes, and they read the next one, looked for some themes, and they read the next one, and then just had a whole lot of themes. Right? So this is a process where you're constantly referring one back onto another.